Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi, we're going to be doing a mitzvah sem gemara in Shabbos. We're going to be finishing up Chof Amud Beis and doing Daf Chof Aleph as well, Be'ezus Hashem. And we begin a brand new perek. We begin the most exciting perek of Bameh Madlikin, which is something that we say every single week on Friday night for those to say Bameh Madlikin in shul on Friday night. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should go back to being able to say it in shul on Friday night, Bimhera. Now, we begin the perek, again, Daf Chof Amud Beis with the new perek, second perek of Shabbos. Bameh Madlikin and Bameh Ein Madlikin. With what type of, we'll see, we're starting off talking here about wicks. Bameh Madlikin, the first part of this Mishnah is dealing with the different types of wicks that you can use on Shabbos. Bameh Ein Madlikin, and with what types of wicks are you not allowed to light with on Shabbos? We'll see that we want the wicks to be drawing up the oil very well, and you shouldn't come to adjust it on Shabbos. So therefore, the rabbis insisted that you use the type of wicks that will draw the oil up well into them, and not therefore lead a person to adjust it and burn it on Shabbos, which would be an issur d'oraisa potentially. Now, this style of Mishnah starts off with Bameh Madlikin, what can you light with, and what can you not light with? So there are two styles. I call them A-B, or A-B-B-A. Meaning, sometimes Mishnayis, they start off with Din A, and then they give you Din B, as general outlines, and then they go into details. Sometimes they'll go back to A, and sometimes they'll go back to B, and then subsequently do A. So this Tosa says over here, is the top little Tosos, Pa'amim Mefarish Mai Desolik Minei, U'Pa'amim Bameh Shehislo. Sometimes it goes one way, sometimes it goes another way. I'm not sure there's a general overriding rule. Each time there's usually a reason. But here we're going to discuss B first. So we have A stated, then B stated, and then we'll discuss B, and then we'll go back to discussing A. That was probably a lot more complicated than I needed to make it. In any event, now we're going to begin discussing the things that you're not allowed to use as a wick. Bameh Ein Madlikin. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Ein Madlikin Lo B'Lechesh. You can't use something that's known as Lechesh. Now that's the gears of the week. We have on the side, he brings down from the Aruch, there's a girsa called Belegesh. But in any event, we'll explain most of these words. I'm not sure what half of these plants are, even when I read them in the English. So I'll read the words that we have in the art scroll to tell you what they are. And then we'll, when we get to the Gemara, we'll discuss them a little bit more. So here we say, Ein Madlikin Lo B'Lechesh, or this Belegesh. And this is something called the cedar bast. Okay, now everybody knows what it is. Then it says you can't use as well a wick, lo bechosen, below bechaloch. Chosen is translated as uncarded flax, and kaloch is translated as some type of a silk, a floss silk. And again, the Gemara will discuss all of these, so we'll wait till we get there to have the halachic discussion that the Gemara will have. There are several other types of wicks that you can use. The Mishnah says, the lo b'fsilas ha'idun, this is something known as willow bast, the lo b'fsilas ha'midbar, something known as desert fiber. Again, we'll discuss each of these in the Gemara and get some real definitions for them. Lo b'yirokosh al p'nei ha'moyim, and that with a certain type of moss that is found, we'll see, on the bottom of boats. Now, Gemara will discuss that more as well. This concludes the first section of the Mishnah, which deals with wicks that you can't use. And now we go to the next section of the Mishnah, which deals with various types of oils. They're not really oils. They're the thing that's making the wick light up, the thing that causes the flame over here. So these are fuels of the various sorts. Now, the girsa that we have is velo b'zephis, velo b'shava. But if you see on the side, in the Saras HaShas, he brings down that the girsa that Rashi has is not having the word velo, no vav there, and also the bar tenura, that doesn't have the word vav there, because now we're dealing with something else. So it's not a vav that's a connecting vav, it's a brand new statement. It should just say lo b'zefes, and this is, he says, v'chei nachon, kizeh haschalas bava, the pasul shmanim, because now we're talking about the various types of oils that are no good, the fuels that are no good. So therefore, the vav doesn't belong here. In any event, our Gemara has the girsa, velo b'zefes, velo b'shava. We don't use Zephis, which we'll see is pitch, and Shava, which is a type of kira, a wax, the Gemara will tell us. Velo b'shemen kick, the Gemara will explain exactly what the shemen kick is. It's a certain type of oil, have a couple of different explanations for it. Velo b'shemen sreifa, and not a oil that is not allowed to be used, except it must be burnt. You get hanoah sometimes from oil, let's say truma that's tmei, you're allowed to get hanoah from it, but you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to use it in the normal way, but it's allowed to be burnt. So here, you're not allowed to use oil that has to be burnt. More we'll discuss this as well. V'lo ba'alya, not with the fat that comes in the tail of a sheep. V'lo b'chelev, and not with the fat that is found in the body. There are other types of fats that are found in the body of an animal. These are non-permissible fats. This is chela, this is sukkaris to go and eat it. But these things could be used to as fuel to make something light. So the Gemara will discuss exactly why not. We'll see it's a gezeira when we get to the Gemara. Finally, we have Nocham Amadi. Nocham Amadi is found in a number of places in Shas. We usually do not paskin like Nocham Amadi. The Gemara will discuss this. Nocham Amadi Omer Madlikim B'chelim Avushal. He says you are allowed to use over here this chelev as long as it was cooked. In other words, if it's in a liquid form, so then you can use it as a fuel, but if it's in a solid form, you can't. And the Chacham disagreed. The Chacham Umim, Echad Mavushal, Echad Shein Mavushal. He says, no. The Chacham say, you're allowed to use it whether it's solid or whether it's liquid. Doesn't make any difference. If it's solid or whether it's been boiled and turned into a liquid, ain't Madlika Bo. You're not allowed to use it no matter what. Now, this sounds exactly like the Tanakama, and the Gemara will discuss this as well. What's the difference between the Tanakama and this sheet of the Chachamim? There are three sheetas over here, not two. And we'll see the difference in the Gemara. That concludes the Mishnah. And a very famous Mishnah, we're all very familiar with it. Hopefully next time we say it, Mitzvah Shem, this Friday night, we'll be able to say it with a little bit more kavana and understanding when we do it as part of our Friday night davening. Gemara starts off and says, Lechesh. What is this Lechesh that we just said at the beginning? You're not allowed to be lighting a wick that's made of Lechesh. So we said it's either Shocha or Socha. We had this at the very last line of the first perek on the top of this Amud. And we said it's either Shocha or Socha de Arza. It's like a piece of the wood, of the bark over here, of this cedar tree, this Arza. Gemara says, wait a second. Shocha de Arza, it's Biamu. That's a piece of wood. How can it be used as a wick? So we already gave this answer earlier at the end of yesterday's share, and we said that this is really talking about Biamrenisa the Ispe. This is talking about there are certain types of like threads inside it. As Rashi says on the very top, in the last words of the last parak, Shocha the Arza, it's Yovishu, it's very dry, Vidak, and it's very thin. V'yesh kmin tzemer ben klipa le'etz, and there is some sort of a woolly type of a structure that could be a wick, in between the bark and the actual tree itself. And this can act as a wick. When you light it up, it can act as a wick. So therefore, that's what we're referring to over here. And the Rashi in our Gemara over here says the same thing. It is this woolly type of a substance that's found in between the bark and the wood of the tree itself. Marketing says, not with chosen, the lobe chosen. So what is this chosen? So I'm Rav Yosef, this is something called na'oris shel pishtan. Na'oris means it's like shaken off from the pishtan. So the pishtan is, the flax is combed, so certain parts of it come off. And these parts are like little thin pieces that could be used as a wick. So you're not allowed to use this type of a wick for your lighting candles on Friday night. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, v'aksiv v'ya chosen l'na'oris. How can you tell me, Rav Yosef, Abaye says, Rav Yosef was his Rebbe, and he says, how can you tell me over here that it means that the chosen is the same exact thing as Norish or Pishtan, because the Pasuk over here that we bring down from Yeshaya says, there was this chosen, and it will be Lina Ores. So that implies that it's two different things. As Rashi says, Alma Chosun Lav Niorisu. They're two different things. How can you define Rav Yosef the Chosen is Norish or Pishtan? And that's actually what it says in the parentheses over here, which you can read or not read it. I think it's correct, but it just is in parentheses. Mechlal, the Chosen Lav Niorisu, implying that this Chosen is not the same thing as a Niorus, which is exactly what Abaye said. So Gemara says, you're right. Elom Abaye. Abaye says, Kitna the doyik v'lo nofitz. You know what this chosin is? It's a certain type of flax, Rashi says, the kivin the lo nofitz, it hasn't been combed so well or beaten so well, ein shem nimshach achrov. It's not going to go and pull the oil up, and therefore it's not going to burn well. Rashi says, nofitz is a foreign language word called kapri, the na'oris min hadak shebo, and this na'oris is like from the little thin pieces of it, and this is what the pasuk is telling us. Pishton echazok, this strong pishton yehafich l'ores will be turned into this weak n'ores. Kolomer hagibor yecholish. That's what Yishai is saying over here. The Klai Yisrael is referred to originally as this strong idea will ultimately be broken down, sort of like ech noflu giborim, how the great have fallen. In any event, that's the type of wick that you can't use as well. Then the next thing we said is a wick you can't use. You can't use this chaloch. What is this chaloch? So Amr Shmuel, Shmuel says, I asked all the different sailors, Shaltinu l'chol n'chos yam, all the people that go out to the yam, and I asked them, because they're mistama, they pick up a lot of language, they go all over the place. B'yamri, now the girsa that we have is law, but on the side it says the girsa should be lead. They told me, and what did they say? This is something called kulcha shmei. This is something called, chaloch is something called kulcha. Not exactly sure what that is. So in the art scroll, they said that this is a certain type of substance that's found on stones. It's like a little woolly substance that's found on stones. And they refer to it as something called Cesaros blossom. Okay, fine. Very good. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Rav and Abaye, these two great Amoraim, Habu Yasvi Kamei de Rabbana Nechemya, they were sitting in front of this Rav Nechemya. Rabbanah is the name for a Rav. Rabbanah Nechemya. Who is this Rabbanah Nechemya? He was Achoa. He was the brother of the Reish Galusa, the person in charge of the Golus. The person in charge of the Golus, the Reish Galusa, was sometimes a Talmud Chacham, but more often he was just a secular important person. In any event, they were sitting in front of this Rabbi Nechemya. And they saw Chazye the Havalevesh Metaksa. And he was wearing a certain type of a garment. Rashi says over here, this Metaksa, this Rashi is found all the way towards the bottom over here, not right where it is. It should be found in the Rashi's. It's out of place. He says, "Is lavusha also mi also kelach." It was made from this kalach over here, this material. So that's what they saw. So Amalei Ravin Abai. So Ravin tells Abai, "Oh, in the Mishnah we learned about kalach. Hainu kalach ditnan. This garment that he's wearing, that's made out of kalach." But Abai says to him, "That's not true." Amalei anan shira pardino karina le. We don't call it kalach. We call it a different type of garment, a different type of material called shira pardino. More questions is the question that Rabin said that this is kalach meisve hashirayim. We have another brisa that says if you have shirayim, which is silk, that's plain silk, vakalach, which is a special type of silk, vasrikin, which is another special type of silk, chayav mitzitzis. These types of garments, you have to have tzitzis on them if the garment is made out of these materials of silk. Now, clearly, this regular silk is different from kalach. And yet, Rabin had said to Abai, this silk garment that the Rabbanu Nechemya was wearing is a silk garment. But that's not true. It was not kalach. So Gemara says, you're right, tiyufta de Rabin, tiyufta. This is kasha and Rabin. We slug him up. Gemara says, alternatively, we don't slug him up. We give the obvious teretz, shira l'chud, b'shira pardin l'chud. He says they're two different things. The first one was shirayim, and this is called shirayim, Peradinda. So therefore, they're two different things, and therefore, it's not a tiyufta on Ravin. Okay. Gemara continues and says, lo b'psila su'idan. The other type of wick that you can't use is something called psila su'idan. What is that? So achvina. If you remember yesterday, and you can see over here again in Rashi, that he says achvina is arava. Remember yesterday we had a machok, because Rabbi Shmuel as to what achvina was. There we spelled it with two vavs. Here we sometimes spell it with one vav. In any event, this achvina is an arava. Okay. Mark continues and says, Rabin Vabai, Havu Ka'azu, they were going traveling together in a place called Befakta de Tamrurisa. Rashi explains Befakta is a bika, and they were traveling over here in this valley of Tamrurisa. Okay, fine. Chazinu, they saw Lahanu Arvasa. Now, we have the word Arvasa spelled with an aleph. It really should be Arvasa, meaning an araba, a willow tree, and therefore it should be spelled with an ayin. That's what is brought down in the source of Shas. In any event, Amalei Rav and Abaye, so Rav and Abaye were going together, and Rav said to Abaye, Hainu idan ditnan, this araba over here, that's exactly what we mentioned in the Mishnah, is this idan. So Amalei Abaye says to him, Hai eitzvamu, what do you mean? How can that be a wick? It's a tree. So what does Rabin do? He's call off, he peels it off, and he shows him the achvile amrinasa de beni beni. And he shows him again this little thread-like woolly type of a substance that's in between the bark and the tree, and therefore it is exactly going to be a wick. Finally, we said the last wick you can't use, lo v'silas hamidbar. You can't use this silas hamidbar, this desert fiber. What exactly is that? So the Gemara says shavra. Rashi says, what is shavra? Shavra, Rashi says, is min esav aruch. It's a long grass, and it gives it a foreign language word, or taya. Okay. Then it says, you can't use as well, v'lo b'yirokosh al pnei amoyim v'chule. You can't use this yarek, this green stuff that is on the water. Where it says mahi, what exactly is this green stuff on the water? Ilema ukmaso de charitze. If you're telling me it's this ukamto, ukmaso is something that's very dark or black. A shoemaker or a polish is called ukamto. So this means a dark color. If it was green that we're talking about, below Yeroka, it means a very dark green that is found in the charitzim, in the ditches. So Gemara says, really? Ilema ukamta de charitze? Is that really what you think it is? Iparuche mifarchan. That's not a wick. It's going to crumble, Rashi says. Velo motzi le'evad psilamina. You can't make a wick out of that, so that can't be what it's talking about. So therefore, Elamo Rapapa. Rapapa says, ukamta de arba. You know what it is? Arba, or an arava, is a boat with an aleph over here, and it's a black stuff, the dark green algae or moss that grows in the bottom of the boat that's in dry dock. Rashi says the boat's not going out. Svino hamesakevis b'malkum echa, the boat that stays in one place for a long time in the water. B'mayim godel yirak roke saviv shulea mibachutz. It has all sorts of algae and moss that grow on the bottom of the boat. So that's what we're referring to over here. That could be made into a wick, and that's not a kosher wick because it won't draw up the oil well. Then we have Tano. We learned in a Braisa, Hosif Walem Shel Tzemeh V'Shel Seyar. The Braisa says, in addition to all the list of wicks that we had in our Mishnah, so the Braisa adds on that you can have wool and you can have hair. Right, those two types of wicks are also no good because they also don't pull up the oil well. So therefore, they're not good. New Gemara says, why didn't our Mishnah say that? The Tanu Didon, why didn't he include them? So Gemara says, no, they weren't even a Havamina because they're not good wicks. Tzemer Michvotz Kovitz. He says, the wool is going to go and shrink. So if you light it, it's going to, so to say, not be a wick. I don't have to tell you things that aren't wicks can't be used for wicks. And likewise, Seir, here, Icharuche Micharich, it's going to burn. It's not going to light. And therefore, neither of these two, there was even a Havamina, according to the Tanakhama, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, that there would be wicks. So therefore, we'd have to tell them to us. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Lo Bezethes. Now we start talking about the various types of oils or fuels, so you can't use zephes. What is zephes? Where it says zephes is zifta, pitch, right? No difference. And shaiva, what is wax? So kirusa, wax. Further we learn, Tana, adkan psul psilos. Until this point in time, all the things, until this, zephes and shava, they were talking about wicks that were no good. Mikan ve'elech, pasul shmano. From here and onwards, we're now dualic, as we already said, we're talking about oils. Where it says pshita, obviously, who would have thought that you can make a wick out of the pitch, the zephis, or out of the wax? Where it says, no, you might have thought so. Shaiva itzrichle. For the wax, you actually need it, because in fact, there are such things as wax candles, which are basically wax around the wick. And therefore, ma'udutem, I might have said, lipsilos nami lochazia, that you can't use a wax candle, that's not good. Kamashalon, no, that actually is good. There's an interesting Tosus over here that says, he brings down, and the Tosus Dibra Maskil, Adkan Posul Psilos, so he says, the B'nai Narvona, they were Chachomim that lived in the city of Narvona, actually Osrin Ner Shaiva Shalano. They did not allow a wax candle, what many of us grew up with, the Shabbos candles, those long white candles, thick white candles, so the B'nai Narvona says that they're no good. And he brings down other opinions that disagree with that. Halach L'maisa, we certainly paskin that those candles are perfectly good, L'chatchila. In any event, the Gemara continues, says, Amar Rami Bar Rabin. Rami Bar Rabin said, Itrina, what is Itrina? It's Psolta de Zifsta. Rashi says over here, La'ach Shiot HaZefes in the eighth, if you have this pitch coming out of the tree, so Zov Mimenu Aideha, or Psoles Tzalul, there's like a very clear liquid that comes off as well, and it's clear like oil, and that's called Itran. Okay, more or less, why do we have to know this? And it says, Shaiva Psolta de Dufsha. The Shaiva over here, the wax, can come from Dufsha, from honeycombs as well. So the Gemara says, we turn to the Amud Aleph, L'may Nafkimina, why do we have to know this? The Gemara says, L'mek HaChomemkar. As Rashi points out, the very top Rashi, L'man Demasi L'mizun Shaiva. If somebody goes to the store and says, I'd like to buy some Shaiva, wax, and instead they give him, L'esiv lo psalto de duvsha, they give him this honeycomb wax, he can't say, hey, I didn't ask for that. No, the bottom line is, it's called wax, and the buyer beware. If you ask for wax and they gave you that, that's a mekach that is a valid mekach. So you need to know this for business purposes, nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos or the halachos of the lighting of the candle. Now the Braisa goes, Tana Rabbanan, Kol Elu Sh'amru, everything that we said, Ein Madlikim Mem Shabbos, the reason why you can't light these things on Shabbos, all of those different types of wicks that you can't light on Shabbos, so for Shabbos you can't light them as wicks. However, Aval Osmei Medura, but if you want to use them for Shabbos as a torch, a Medura is a big flame, so then you're allowed to use all of those things, because the concern is that you may come to adjust a little bit of a light on a lamp, but not if it's a big flame, then it will burn fine, and therefore there's no concern that you'll adjust it. And therefore, if you want to use all of these types of wicks that we said were no good for your Shabbos candles, but if you want to make them into a big torch, you throw them into your fireplace, that's fine. Whether you want to use it to heat yourself up, or for light, that's perfectly good. And this is true, whether it's on the ground, like a pile of wood, or if it's even on a stove. The only time the rabbi said you can't use this on Shabbos is if it's in a single wick on a lamp, let's say, where you may come to adjust it, and therefore they didn't allow it. Then we said in the Mishnah, Velo b'shemen kik, you can't use this type of oil, shemen kik. My shemen kik, what is shemen kik? So we have three answers. The Gemara says, Amr Shmuel, number one, Shil tinu l'chon achusayama. I asked all the sailors, and they told me, there's a certain bird that's found in various islands over there in the ocean. The kik shemo, this bird is called the kik. And therefore, there was a certain type of oil that they would take out from this bird, and that's why it's called shemen kik, the shemen that comes from this bird known as the kik. Teretz number one. Rav Yitzchak Rei, Rav Yehuda Meir, teretz number two, mishka de kaza, is the oil that comes from kaza. Rashi explains over here. Kaza is shemish osi migarine tsemer gefen. This is made from something called cotton, right? We're all familiar with cotton. So this is cottonseed oil. So it's the oil that comes from cotton. Teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rish Lakish Amar, Kikoyon de Yona, the famous Kikoyon de Yona. Yona in the end of the Navi Yona. So he is out in the hot sun, and Hashem makes a plant called the Kikoyon grow and shades him, and then the plant dies, and Yona is very upset. So this is the Kikoyon plant that we have no knowledge about from Yona. What is this? I'm Rabbi Rechana. L'dini chazi li kikoyin diyona. I myself saw this plant, and it is something called the Tzloliva Domi. It looks like a certain plant known as a Tzloliva plant. Okay, in the art school, they translate this as a ricinous plant. Okay. The Alpum Chanusa Madlon Yosei. What was the purpose of this plant? So Rashi says they would put it by the store, the entrances to their stores. Alpum Chanuyos Madlon Yosei. They would hang it over there. Why? Letzel, for the purposes of shade, ulereach tov, and it gave off a nice aroma. So this way, people would be enticed to come into their stores. Miparzidoi of the Mishra, Rashi says miparzidoi, that means the garinim from its seeds, they would make oil. Ubanfoi, and from the branches, naichon kobriche de maroba, from these branches, they would have the sick people, briche is actually means the sick people, and they would go and rest underneath these branches. All the people in Eretz Yisrael, this is where the sick people would go. This is like a convalescent center. Okay. Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Silo Sharmu, Chachomim, Malikim, Behem, Shabbos. All the wicks that we enumerated in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, as I've already told you, Mimnesha or Misachseches Behem. As Rashi explains over here, Kimin Sakin Paguma. Misachseches means like a serrated knife over here, or a knife that has holes in it, or it has pegimos in it. She'ein Oro Zokuf, the Noach, the Mokum Echlet. It won't give off a nice flame. A vertical, nice flame in one place. It jumps all around, and therefore it's gonna flicker, and you're gonna try to make it not flicker, and you're gonna cause havara on Shabbos. Alternatively, Rashi says lishnachrina misachseches behem means eino nechneses toch hapsila. The oil doesn't get absorbed well into these wicks. El savi mibachutz, it only gets around it, and therefore it's gonna jump about. And again, you're not gonna have a good flame, and you're gonna come to adjust it on Shabbos, and you'll be over havara. So that's the reasoning that we've already explained. The bnei she'einim shochem achar hapsila. They don't draw up well into the wick, or it won't light well, and you'll come to go and Rahman al-Islam do the Malach of Havara on Shabbos. If you look all the way on the Besaras Hashatz towards the bottom, you have another Pirish from the Rivon. It's worked down by the Tosos Yishonim. In the middle of the last Besaras Hashatz on the bottom, he says, Rivon Pirish, the Hodam el Nimshochim Apachab Sila. He says, no, it's not the reason that I just explained that you may come to adjust the wick because it's not burning well. Elo Shema Yechabe, it may go out. The Lekker Shalom Bayis. One of the reasons why we light candles in the house is that it should be Shalom Bayis. When you have light in the house, everything is happier. You're going to be happier. You're not going to stub your toe. You're not going to be mad at somebody for leaving the toys on the floor. You're not going to be upset that the food doesn't taste good because you don't see it. When food tastes better when you see it. So this causes Shalom Bayis. The reason why we light candles is for Shalom Bayis. So if you light with a lousy wick, the candles may go out. You won't have Shalom Bayis. Abaye asked Rabbi the following question. All of these oils that we said you can't light on Shabbos. So we have non-permissible oils and we have permissible oils. Can you mix them? So you have a little bit of the non-permissible oil. I'll add some of the permissible oil. Can I use that on Shabbos? Is that good or not? Do we say, if we allow you to use half good, half bad, you'll come to use all bad? Or do we say, oh, no. Everybody will know, I use a little bit of good, that's why I could use it. But if I only use the all bad, then I can't use it. That was Abaye's question of Rabba. Rabba was his Rebbe. Abaye learned by Rabba, he learned by Rebbe Yosef. Amalei, so Rabba told him, ain't madlikim, you're not allowed to use it. Why? My timer, Abaye asked, Mor says, lefishe madlikim, because it's not going to light up well. And therefore, the rabbi said, you're not allowed to go and use it. In the Mishnah Berurah, he does point out that if you have majority that's good and only a small minority that's bad, then it would in fact be allowed to be used. Although he does bring down that the Rambam seems to disagree with that, but he writes, it's not clear. So the bottom line is, the rabbi had said that you're not allowed to use if it's half good, half bad. More questions is, Esve, Abaye further prods and asks Rabba, Karach, Dovish, Madlikim, Bo, Agabi, Dovish, Madlikim, Bo, if you go and make a wick, okay, and you have the not good stuff on the inside and the good stuff on the outside, Ein Madlikim, Bo, you're not allowed to use that wick. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama in this Brisa. But along comes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he says, "Base Abba, you korchim psila gabi egos." No, in my father's house, they would in fact take egos, which is not a good wick, and they would wrap around a good wick around it, and they in fact live with that. Umadlikin. So, Kasha on Rabbah, how can you say they didn't lose 50-50? Here you see that in the household of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's father, they did. So you see, clearly, Tani Mias Madlikin. So Abaye says, but you see that they did use this. Sumer says, who says that that's the only opinion? Amalei. The most of leave me the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. You're giving me a hard time for Shimon Gamliel, but the Tanakhama agrees with me. See, I knew him, the Tanakhama said, ain't Madlikin Bo. So I hold like the Tanakhama. Where he says, no, that's not Akasha. Holo Kasha. Maisa Rav is the fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel paskin this way, so then Mistama, that's the halacha. And therefore, if he did this halacha la Maisa, you can't just discard his opinion and say, I hold like the Tanakama. No, we call Mokum Kasha. My lab lahadlik. Isn't it assuming over here that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel used it to light, so therefore he did use a half good, half bad wick, Kasha and Rabba? So Rabba would say, no, he didn't use a half good, half bad wick. Lahakbos, it was low lahakbos. You know what it was for? It was for just keeping it floating. Like lahakbos, Rashi says, loya madlikin egos. They didn't really light the walnut over here. Elasomech lehapsila latzifa. The wick would be, so to say, held up straight, so it shouldn't fall down in the oil. Shaloti tava b'shemen. It shouldn't get absorbed into the oil. And therefore, this is like a stand. This is a support system, but you're not using it as a wick. So it's using 100% good wick with a support system. That is allowed. So Gemara says, Ela Hakbos, if that's really your answer, so then why would only Rosh Hashanah Gamliel use this? Why wouldn't the Tanakhama use this? My time with the Tanakhama, this says it's no good. If it's not a good wick and a bad wick together, it's just a good wick that's being supported by something, why would the Tanakhama say it's no good? So Gemara says, you're right. In fact, there is no Tanakhama over here. This is all one opinion. It's all the opinion of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. And this is where you have to read this brisa. Kula Rosh Hashanah Gamliel hi. V'chisur emach sur v'achit ani. And this is missing words over here. I mentioned many times, the reason why we have chisur emach sur is I heard from the Rebbe, that it's because we're not allowed to write down the Gemara really. And therefore, when Rebbe wrote it down, when they wrote down the Mishnayos, when Ravina Rashi wrote down the Gemara, they often put in Chisuri Mechsaras to remind us of what the din really is, that you can't write this down. So they would leave parts out. And then when we'd figure it out, we say, ah, that's right, because you're not really supposed to have written this down. So there was parts missing over here from this brisa. And what are those parts? This is the way the brisa should read. Karach dover shem adlikim bo, al gabi dover shem adlikim bo. If you use a 50% good wick and a 50% bad wick, ain't madlikim bo. You're not allowed to like that. Why not? Because it's going to lead you, it'll be a gzera, as we'll see, that you come to use the bad wick all the time. Now, under what circumstances is that? That's lahadlik, when you're planning on lighting it. So 50% is bad, 50% is good, and while it will light, the rabbi said, gezerah, don't do this, because then you'll use all the bad next time. However, avol lahakbos, if you're using it just to support the good wick, like the walnut, so then it's not a 50% bad wick, 50% good wick, you're just using it to support. And therefore, avol lahakbos, it's mutter. Where do we see this? Sharabon Shimon Gamliel Omer, he said, that's what they exactly did in my father's house, that they would go and use the good wick, and they would support it with the egos, but not a 50% bad, 50% good. More questions this. Ini, is this really so? If you have over here chelev, which is melted, muhutach means it's been heated up and it's melted, so it's liquid. And likewise, you have the oils, the fatty part of the fish, when they're solid, they're no good, but shenimochu, they're perfectly good. You can in fact use this over here when it's mixed with oil. Now, isn't this an example of 50% no good, the chelev behutach, and the kibbeh dogim shenimochu, they're really not good. So how are you allowed to use them with the oil? That seems to go against the chisuri mechsur of ha'chitoni, where we learned the braisa. So again, kashan rabba. So rabba responds, and he says, hani mimshache banayu. Now, the answer is over here, that these oils that Rabbi Bruna Amarav said, the chelev behutach, kibbeh dogim shenimochu, are in fact good. But but all the other oils that we talked about aren't drawn up well. In other words, chelev that's not heated up and kirbei dogim that aren't melted, they aren't good. And therefore, the melted ones is like 50% good with the oil, which is 50% good. But why don't we allow you to use it? Because we're concerned if we allow you to use the chelev mehutach, the melted, the kirbei dogim shenimochu, the melted, you may come to use the non-melted. Because you're abadon al chelev mehutach, mishum chelev she'enu mehutach. The al kirbei dogim shenimochu, mishum kirbei dogim shaloni mochu. So the rabbis made a gzeir over here. If we let you use these types of melted chelev, for me, the animal or the fish, you're going to come to use the unmelted ones. And therefore, we don't allow you to use it at all. But not because it's 50% no good with 50% good. It's really good. But there's a gzeira on it, and that's why we don't let you use it. So how come then we do allow you to use this stuff with oil? So Gemara says, no, he goofed gzera. The only reason you can't use the melted stuff is a gzera because you may come to use the unmelted stuff. So now we should not let you use the melted stuff with oil because you may come to use the unmelted stuff. That's a gzera l'gzera. So therefore, it's not a problem. So Rabbi says that's why it's good to use the melted wax of the fish or the animal with the oil, but can't use the melted chelev or the melted kirbei dagim by themselves. That would be gzera l'gzera. You see again in the first part of the Mesoros HaShas that we referred to before the Rivan, all the way at the bottom on the right. So it says im tomar akati have gzera l'gzera muhutach adu sheinu muhutach. The whole original one was gzera l'gzera. How come that's allowed? So he says, "Yesh lo maduchad gzera." It's all one gzera. The efshar shelo yata. The whole idea of here is that you may come to adjust it. So it's really one gzera in that situation, but here would be a separate gzera l'gzera. Okay, a little bit of a complicated piece, but let's go by it. Where it says, "Tani Rami bar Chama." Rami bar Chama said, "Psilos u'shmanim shamu chacham." All the wicks and the oils that the rabbi said, "Ein madlikim b'shabbos." You now use them on Shabbos. You likewise ein madlikim behem b'mikdash. You also now use them in the base of mikdash. Why not? Mishum, because the pasuk says, "Shenemar lahalos ner tamid." You must use a ner tamid. It must be continuously over here. And what does that mean? Hutani love hu amala kadesh shall have his ola me'elel. It has to be beautiful, continuously going up. In other words, it must be fully absorbing the oil in the wick. And belosh te ola idavache. Not that you have to adjust it and do stuff to it, which therefore would not be good. The Gilyan Hashas over here, all the way at the very, very bottom of the Davar Rekiva Eger, and the second to last line at the very bottom says, "Kashli," he says, "a big problem. Lamai nokat shmanim. Habim mes hamigdosh, eh madlikin rak b'shem zay zoch." Why are you telling me other oils? In the base of Migdosh, you had to use pure olive oil. He left with a tzarechi, and he doesn't give you an answer. But the Rashash brings down that this is an example of what we call shigra delishna, that you sometimes have that things are just said, even though they're not meant exactly. This is the normal way to use it. It says in the Beis HaMikdash, we wouldn't use it also because it's not going to pick up the oil well. But it's really because it's not olive oil that you can't use it. Okay. Gemara says, now we learned in the Mishnah, mivloyim michlisek kohanim, from the beloyim, from the worn out michnesei kohanim, from the trousers of the Kohen Gadol, from the pants of the Kohen Gadol, umehem nayem, and from their belts. What would they do with them when they were worn out? Now let it be moil with them. You can't use them for anything, so they would use them for something holy. Hoyum afkiyin, they would go and rip them and make them into wicks. As Rashi says, korin v'osim psilos, they would rip it and make it into wicks, and they would use it b'simchas beis ha'shoeva shibez usnoshim, and they would go and have the fancy, huge simchas beis ha'shoeva party in the ezus noshim. That's what the Gemara says. Now, my lab the kilayim. Now, aren't they talking here that use them as wicks? And they had them over here from kilayim. There was wool and the flax, and therefore the flax may be a good wick, but the wool is not. So how could they do this? Rami bar Chama just said that you're not allowed to do this. You can't mix them. The Gemara says, no, the butz. We're not talking here about the parts that had kilayim. It's only talking about the part that was pure linen. There was the pure flax over here, and that is a perfectly good wick. Amar Rav Huna, those wicks and oils that the rabbi said in Malik Ben Shabbos, you now use them on Shabbos. We have three different verses now. The first one is Rav Huna in Malik Ben Chanukah. You also now use them on Chanukah. And this is true whether it's the weekday or Shabbos Chanukah. Ben Shabbos, Ben Chol. That's the first opinion over here. Why? I'm a Rava, my time of the Rav Huna. Why did Rav Huna say no? So Gemara says, Kesavar, if the Chanukah lich go out and they haven't burned their set amount of time, the half an hour that they have to burn, you must relight it. And therefore, you're going to go and relight it. And since it's easy to go out, all these wicks on Shabbos, so if the Chanukah lich go out and you have to relight it, and it's Shabbos, you're not going to be able to do this, but you're going to forget yourself, and therefore you can't use it. And likewise, and over here, you're allowed to obviously, according to this opinion, also get benefit from the Chanukah lights, which is not, of course, the way we pass it. But since you're allowed to go and use this over here, on Shabbos, you're going to want to go and light it again. What about on the weekday? Why on the weekday is there a problem in doing this? It's going to go out. You're not going to realize it, and you're not going to go and relight it, and that's not the right thing. So that's opinion number one, Rav Huna. Second opinion, Ruchis Tamar, Madlikim Emchol. On a weekday of Hanukkah, you can use them because if they go out, you light them, no problem. Avlo b'Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. Why? Because Savar called Sa. If it goes out on Shabbos, return to the Amud Beis, Ein Zokakla. You don't have to be lighted again. Umut l'shtam ishlower, but you are allowed to use its light, and therefore, on a weekday, there's no problem. But on Shabbos, if you're allowed to use the light, you may go and relight it again, and therefore, you can't use it on Shabbos. That's the second opinion. A third opinion, which is how we paskin, Amar Zeir, Amar Masna, Ramil Amar Zeir, Amar Rav, whoever it was, Zeir said in the name of either a Masna or in the name of Rav, Psilos Usham Shmanim Shamu Chachamim, those wicks which the rabbi said, and those oils which the rabbi said, Ein Madlikim Bem Shabbos, now use them on Shabbos, Madlikim Bem Chanukah, in fact, you can use them on Chanukah, and this is true both for weekday Chanukah, Bem Chol, Bem Shabbos, or Shabbos Chanukah. How come? I'm of Yemiya, my time of the Rav. What's the reasoning that Rav said this? Or, according to the first opinion, it was Rav Masna. What's the reasoning? Because he holds, number one, Kovso Ein Zokakla. Because there is no requirement to relight it again. So on a weekday or on Shabbos, if it goes out, you're not mechuyev to light it again. Therefore, the person won't light it again. But also Lishtamish Lora. And likewise, you're not allowed to go and use its light. So therefore, on Shabbos, if it goes out, there's no concern that you'll relight it again because you're not using it for light. And therefore, you're allowed to use these wicks for a weekday and on Shabbos. Now, I pointed out that we do paskin like this, but our minhag is that if the candles do go out, you should relight them again if they haven't burned long enough time. Okay. The Gemara now says, the rabbis said over here in front of Abaya, in the name of Rav Yirmiya, but Abaya didn't accept it. Below Kibla. He said, no, I never heard that. However, when Ravin came, Kiyosa Ravin, and he said over from Eretz Yisrael, Ravin used to come back and forth from Eretz Yisrael, tell over the Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Bavel Torah to Eretz Yisrael. So Amruah Rabbanon Kamei Dabai, Mishmei the Rav Yochanan. He now said it over in the name of Rav Yochanan, and the name of Yirmiyah, said it over in the name of Rav Yochanan, Big Kibla. And now Abai accepted it. But Abai was upset. Abai said, if only I had been zoche to hear this earlier in my life, I would have the schus to have said this over the name of Rav and not only in the name of Rav Yochanan. Gemara says, what difference it make? Well, Gomra, so now he knows it. What difference it make who he learned it from? Gemara says, no. If he learned it earlier in his life, nafkamina, it would be for better remembering. Legirsa the Yankuso. We have a famous idea that a person learns something in his youth, he remembers it for life. Many of you think back to it yourselves. If you learn something in first or second grade, you can still remember your Rebbe teaching it to you. You can still say over the pasuk, Bereishis, Bar Elokim, right? You remember that like it was yesterday. Whereas a pasuk that you read last week in the Rashi, you may already have forgotten. So therefore, gears to the Yankusa, something that you learned in your youth is something that's very dear to us. It stays in our minds much more. Medically, we know this is true. People sometimes who have Nebuch, Alzheimer's, who have difficulties with memory, they can remember events that happened 50 years ago, but they can't remember something that happened 10 minutes ago. This is the idea of gears to the Yankusa. Very true. Now the Gemara says, what is this din of Kosa Zokaklo, Kofsa Ein Zokaklo? What exactly is this? So the Gemara says, Kofsa Ein Zokaklo, do we really hold that the opinion over here of Rav and Rav Chisados, if it goes out, you don't have to go and relight it. Is that really true? Or minu? But it says in the Braisa, mitzvasa, the mitzvah to light the Chanukah licht, is extending from the time Mishatishka Chama, from the time that the sun sets, all the way at Shatichla Regel Meshuk, until the last people in the marketplace have left already. Now, doesn't that imply, my love, the Ekovsa, doesn't apply that if it's not lit for the entire period of time, in other words, if you lit it and it went out, that you have to relight it, Hadar Madiklei, that you must relight it again? Isn't that the purpose of telling us over here in this Braisa that the time that it should be lit is not just that you can light it during that time, but it must be lit from the beginning of the sun setting until the end of when the last people have left the market? Where it says, no, exactly like I suggested, it isn't, that's what it is. The E, lo, adlik, madlik, that's the time to light. If you didn't yet light at the time that the sun set, you have all the way time till the end of the time that the people are leaving the marketplace. So as long as you lit sometime during that time, you're good. Alternatively, yinami, lishura. It could be the amount of time it has to light. That's the amount of time. But you light it any time then, as long as it lasts for that period of time, which is a period of time of about a half an hour, so that's perfectly good. And that's what the Gemara says now. Achit kailu regel minashuk v'yat kama. Exactly how long is that period of time? So we pass it on Rav Yochanan, Amar Yochanan, adekayu riglo de tamudoi, until the last people in the market have left. These are the nation, Rashi says, known as the Tamudoyim. Rashi says, all the way towards the top of the Amud, he says, Shem Uma Malakta Eitzim Dakim. They were a people, a tribe, that would go and collect little thin pieces of wood, little twigs, or misakvi mishuk, they would be the last ones to stay in the marketplace, because if people went home and saw they didn't have any wood, they'd quickly come back to get them. So they were the last people to leave the marketplace. So that's what it means. When they left the marketplace, that's the end of this man. And again, we say halach lemaisa, this is about a minimum of a half an hour. That's how much the candles have to be lit once the sun has set until the time that these people leave the marketplace. Again, there are different opinions, halach lemaisa, which we won't get into right now. What is the optimal time to start lighting the candles, and what a bidyevit? Tosus does point out a very, very big and important idea over here. The ilo adlik madlik, in that Tosus, he says, ulri nira, towards the end of the Tosus, the ato ein locho shmosa yidlok. Today, nowadays, it's different. We don't light outside. Danu ein anu lanu lehekera el lebnei habayis. We don't light for the people outside. We light for the people inside. Sharim adlikim mibifnim. We light inside our house. So as long as somebody's up in your house, you still can go light the chanuk licht, and that's how we paskin. Marketing says, Tana Rabbanon, Mitzvah Chanukah, what is the way to light the Chanukah licht near Ishu Beiso? The minimal amount is to have one candle every night in your house. That's the din. That's the etzem din. You yotze with that. If I'm a Hadrin, the people that do mitzvahs more zealously, they try to do everything 100% right, near the kol echad v'yechad. So let's say you have five people in your house, so everybody lights one candle every night. And those that are especially zealous, which is the way Baruch Hashem most people do it today, but Mahadrin or Hadrin, what do we do? Beishamay Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona. Now, here we have Machlokes Beishamay Basila. We don't follow Beishamay, but we do this idea that every night we change the number of candles that we light, and ideally everybody does that in the house. So Beishamay Yom Rishon, they do it going from 8 to 1. And of course, Basila is the way we pass it, and we go from 1 to 8. So, Mishama Yomim, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona. The first night you light 8 candles. Mikame Elach Posif Olav. The next night you light 7. The next night you light 6. And Basila does the opposite. Basila Yomim, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas. Mikame Elach Posif Olav. First night you light 1, next light 2, next light 3, all the way to 8. That's how we pass it. That's Basila Shita. Amaru Lahula says, Pligi Botre Amaroi Bemarava. There were two Amaroi in Eretz Yisrael. Rav always means Eretz Yisrael, it was west of Babel. So in my Rav, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, who are these two Amorayim, Rav Yossi bar Rav and Rav Yossi bar Zvida? What did they say? Chad Amar time of the Beishamay. One said the reason for Beishamay to go from 8, 7, 6, 5 to 1 is Kenegid Yomim HaNechnosim, is to tell us how many days are left in Chanukah. So the first day, there are 8 days left. The second day, there are 7 days left. The time of the Beis Hillel, the reason for Beis Hillel, is Kenegid Yomim HaYotzim. It's to tell us how many days have gone by. So the first night, light 1. 1 night went by. Second night, 2. 2 nights went by, etc. That was one opinion. The other one said, either Rav Yossi Zavda or Rav Yossi Bar Rabin, the other one said, the reason for Beis Shammai is Kenegid Pari Achad. It's like on Sukkot that you have the number of Purim that are brought, Kenegid is 70 Umos. So the first day you bring 13, then the next day you bring 12, then you bring 11, etc. The time of the Beis Hillel, so therefore the candles, according to Beis Shammai, go down just like the Purim of the Chag of Sukkot. The time of the Beis Hillel and the opinion of Beis Hillel, so is different. He says the reason is the malim mekodshim aridin. You have to always have more kedusha. So if you lit 8 the first night, then you couldn't light less than 8 the second night. So you light 1 the first night, 2 the second night. So these are the two reasonings of the Amorim. Amar Rabbi Avichanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Zekeinim, Hoyu B'Tzidon. There were two elderly people living in Tzidon. Echad Osuk Rabbi Shammai, Echad Osuk Rabbi Hillel. Each one did a different way, and each one gave a different reason. Zeno Saint Talmud Varv, and one of them gave the reason Kineged Pari Achag, like the second reason that we gave over here, like the bulls on Sukkot that you bring as korbanos. It went down 13, 12, 11, etc. And the other one who lit Zeno Saint Tam Lidvarv, he gave the reason like Beis Hillel, the Malam Kosh Veino reason, like the second reason that we brought down from the Samarayim. Tana Rabbanu, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah La'nichol Pesach Beiso. There's a mitzvah to go light the Chanukah candles by the door of your house. That's the ideal way to do this. Mibachutz, on the outside, so that people in the street can see it. In Mayador Be'ali, if you live on the second floor, so you're not by the street, so what do you do? Minichim Mechalin, you put it by your windows, again, which is what we do. Hasmuch L'Rishos HaRabim, you put it near the Rishos HaRabim so people can see it in your window. Aye, Nebuch, if they were being persecuted, B'shas HaSakana, Nebuch, if it's dangerous to have the Chanukah licht in your windows, Samnichal Shulchan V'Yadayu, then you do Pirsum Anes for the people in your family, which is what we do, and you can put it by the window, certainly Baruch Hashem nowadays, but as long as you light it in the house, that would be fine, because you're mefarsein the Nes for your family. Amar Rava, Rava says, Tzorech Nera Acheres L'shtam Mishlora, you have to have another candle, because you're not going to get Hanor from the light of the Chanukah licht. So if you want light in the house, you better light another candle. But if you already have another fire lit, you have a big torch over there, no big deal. Then you don't need a special shamus. But if you're a very choshev person, then even though you have another candle lit, even though you have a flame lit over there, so you don't really need to have a shamish, nevertheless, it's a proper covered tzorech ner acheres. The person should light a separate shamish over here to distinguish it from the Chanukah licht. Now, this is a great stopping point because tomorrow we're going to begin the Gemara, Mai Chanukah, so we'll stop the shiur today. want to remind everybody today we learned Lilu Nishmas Ellen Weinstein, Jay Weinstein's Olav Shalom's first wife, Esther Reza Bas Shlomo Halevi. Her neshama and all the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. And that concludes today's shiur.